Well, good evening, everybody. You take your Bibles tonight, you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on the light of life. The light of life. God's word is full of verses about the importance of light. Both physical, like what we can see, and spiritual light. To see the first usage of light, we don't have to go very far in the Bible. Genesis 1:3 says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was what?
Light."
Light. That's what he said. What's interesting about this is the first thing that A, God said as recorded in his word. First thing he spoke was, let there be light, as recorded in the word. So the first recorded words of God is, let there be light. And B, God did this, the first thing he did in remaking our world, right? The world became without form and void. The first thing that God does to put it all back together is, says, let there be light. That's the first thing. So when God was putting it all back together, he said, light's important. Let there be light. So God emphasizes things in his word with firsts, right? First time things are used. So he's emphasizing light. Go to Revelation 22, verse 5. Revelation 22, verse 5. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. So he starts in verse 3 with light. In the last chapter of Revelation, verse 5, it says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So one of the final things that God reveals to his people pertains to light. In the new heaven and earth. So in the new heaven and earth, God will be our eternal light. We won't even need the light of the sun or candles or anything, because God will be our light. That's pretty cool too. Go to 1 John chapter 1. A couple pages back, 1 John 1, verse 5. So God will be our eternal light when Jesus Christ comes back. So he started with light, and in the end, he will be the only light we need. 1 John verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." No darkness. So light is so important that God associates it with himself. God is light. He associates light directly with himself. There's no darkness whatsoever in God. And that means that nothing bad or negative originates with God, right? Because there's no darkness in him at all. At all. Verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him," with God, "and at the same time walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And that word walk is to live. If we live in the light of God and in the light of his word, then we have fellowship with God and each other, right? To walk, to live in the light, then we have fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. Our lives are blessed. Our families are blessed. Our friends are blessed. Our communities, the people we're around, they are blessed because of our walk, of the way that we live our lives in the light. Go to 2 Timothy verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. So God attributes light directly to himself. That's how important it is. One of the qualities that God attributes to himself. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So when we get born again, we get Holy Spirit. That spirit isn't a spirit of cowardice, right? That's what the word fear means. It's not a spirit of cowardice, but it's a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. That means that God makes people powerful, loving, and able-minded. And with that power, love, and sound-mindedness, we're supposed to renounce or, you know, get rid of our old nature, our old ways, our contrary walk. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Right? So we're not to walk in the darkness anymore. We're to walk in the light as God is the light. Second Corinthians 4, verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Right? And the word lost is perishing. Those who are perishing. And the word hid is veiled. They can't see it clearly. Like, you go to a wedding, and the bride walks down, and she's got a veil over her face. And you can't see completely what her face looks like, because there's a veil in front of it. And then she gets up there, and she removes it, and she looks all pretty, and then you can see exactly what she looks like, because the veil is removed. It's clear. So the word hid is that same word, veiled. If the gospel be veiled, like they can't see it clearly, it's to them that are perishing. They can't see it clearly, so therefore, they can't believe it. And if they can't believe it, it can't help them. Verse 4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." So who does the blinding? Satan. That's right. Satan, the devil, the God of this world. Right? He's the one who does the blinding. He's the one who puts the blinders on. Right? He is the one who blinds the minds of them which believe not. Lest, because if he didn't do it, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Right? That's his goal. His goal is to blind people. He entices people with things that are contrary to God's word so that they don't believe the truth, so that the spiritual light doesn't reach them and light up their own lives. That's his goal, is to keep things veiled, keep things hidden, to give them anything else to look at, anything else besides the word of God. Verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Remember, that was verse 3. He did that. He commanded it. "Hath shined in our hearts." So it's God who shines in us to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And in the face, it means through the work that Jesus Christ did. He shines in us so that we can give the light of the knowledge, so that people aren't blinded, right? The people are walking around veiled. They don't know God's word. So he gives it to us to shine it forth so that people can know that the knowledge of the glory of God through what Jesus Christ accomplished can shine to them. Right? He shines in us so that he can shine to them. Verse 7. "But we," you and me, "have this treasure," the gospel, "that's shining in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." So you and I are the living examples of God's powerful presence, right? It's God who's in Christ in us. It shines through us and out to other people. That's what they see. We live our lives so that other people can see God's goodness. They can see, hey, those people are blessed. Those people are prosperous. Those people are happy. Those people are peaceful. Whatever it might be, the things that come from knowing God and His Word, so that the veils can be removed and they can be free like we are. That's the treasure that we have, right? That's the treasure that we get to share. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And God calls it a treasure. I mean, you think it's important to God if He's going to call it a treasure? I mean, a treasure is a valuable thing. Matthew 5, 14. A treasure is a valuable thing. It's obviously important to God. But God shines through us. That light, it's God in Christ in us. Matthew 5, 14. You are the light of the world. Well, there you go. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And that's sort of the imagery here, right? We want to be a city set on a hill. Everybody can see it. Everybody can see the goodness up there. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. They don't cover it over with like a bowl or something so you can't see it. They light the candle so it illuminates the room. But on a candlestick, they put it on a candlestick so everybody can see it. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Right? We are the light of the world. We don't want to not shine that forth. We want to exude that light. We want it to be visible to everybody. Verse 16. Let your fears and worries and doubts so shine before men. No. Let everybody see how miserable you are. Believe in God's word, how hard it is. No. That's what religion will teach you. It's miserable. No, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our light is what we should shine out. Not our worries and doubts, not the negativities. Right? If we're talking about negativities all the time, what are we giving out? It's our light that we want to shine. We renew our minds to God's word, and we keep shining. That's what we do. Go to John 8, and then God gets the glory. People see that. They say, hey, man, you're dealing with so much, and yet you're still so happy and blessed. Why is that? You know, we want people to ask those kinds of questions because the answer is it's God, right? Jesus Christ saved us. If they ask those questions, we can give them the answer and then they can get saved too. That's our treasure to share. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's the light of life. Following Jesus Christ, following after Christ. It's God in Christ in us. When we confess, Romans 10, 9, 10, we get born again, we're saved, that's it. It's God in Christ in us. And to follow after Christ is to endeavor to live like He did. Right? He's the example. We can't live up to it because we're not perfect. But we can endeavor to walk like He did. And when people do that, they follow after the light. The darkness subsides. And then they absolutely will have the light of life. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. So that's what we do. We renew our minds to what the Word of God says. We start thinking and believe in what God says about you and me. Right? God says we're complete. God says we have all our needs met. God says He loves us. God says we can go and talk to Him whenever we want. Full access. Let's live like all that's true for us. Ephesians 5:8. For you were sometimes darkness. At some point we were. But now that we're sons of God, we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And that's the new you. That's the upgraded you. Okay? When your life is lit up, you radiate it out. When you're putting on God's word in your life, then you're lit up and everybody else sees it. People can't help but to notice. It's a life of ease and of peace and of joy. And that's what people look at. I'm going to close in Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you. And that phrase could also read, it is God who is at work in you. It's God who's at work in you. That's pretty crazy to think about. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God who's at work in you, and that will is to desire or want to. So there's two things. He's at work in you so that you want to, and then you will do of his good pleasure, the way that he wants you to live your life. And then verse 14, in context, I got this a lot as a kid, but in context, it's pretty cool. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Which basically means do all things without complaining about it. Right? Without murmuring, disputing, without arguing and complaining. But the things that God's talking about are the things that he's working in you to do. So God's at work in you and you have a choice. Right? God gives us freedom of will. We're not slaves. Right? We get to make our own choices. We can or we don't have to. Right? That's the love that God has for us is giving us a choice. But his word says that we're supposed to do it without arguing and complaining, right? Those are the things we're supposed to do. Why? Verse 15. The reason, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Right? That's our place. God wants us to do those things so that we can shine as lights. God understands what kind of world we live in, right? There's an adversary, there's Satan, the devil runs the show, and things aren't always great. Most of the time they're not in the world. There's lots of bad stuff going on. But in the middle of all that crooked stuff, we can shine as lights. We can shine as lights. We can radiate and reflect God's light out to other people. To push away that negativity, right? To give people something to look forward to hope for. Give them something that will save their souls, right? That's what we can do. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Right? If we allow God's light to burst out of us, then we'll shine so bright to the rest of the world. The light of life is God's word. It's God's word. And that's what he wants us to show. It pushes out the fear, the anxiety, the doubts, the worries, the negativity. And it leads to boldness and to peace and to joy. Right? To shine forth brings other people to God. That's our responsibility. So it's not about you and me. It's not who I am, but it's about what God's made us to be, right? It's what about God. God made us to be lights in this world, to shine forth and to reflect his light to other people. That's what it's about. I'm an earthen vessel, if you will, right? It's God at work in me to will and do of his good pleasure. And then when we do that, we're happy and other people are happy, and you can't argue with that. That's a good thing. I like being happy. I like it when the people around me are happy. So we can shine as lights. We can bless other people. We can show them what it is to have fellowship with God.